Back tonight at verses 1 through 4. We're going to pick up where we left off on last night. The subject matter is, how does the Holy Spirit speak to men today? How does the Holy Spirit speak to men today? The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Is that in your Bible? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. In our study on last night, we labored to show that Christ was God's last spokesman to mankind. We read from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Isn't that in your Bible? We labored last night to show that God said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God wants us to hear Jesus. We labored to show last night that Christ used the Holy Spirit in order to guide the apostles into all truth. We read from John chapter 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, I've come tonight to pick up where we left off on last night. I want you to know from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It doesn't matter who the man is. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We are here tonight to speak where the Bible speaks. And we are going to be silent where the Bible is silent. We are not going to add anything to the word of God, nor are we going to take anything away from the word of God. For we believe that the word of the Lord is right. Over in the book of Psalms 33 and verse number 4, the Bible says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. Now, a lot of people are arguing tonight over who is right. But I want to tell you tonight, before you find out who is right, you need to find out what is right. Amen. And if you can find out what is right, if the who obeys the what, then I know who is right. Amen. So the question tonight is, what is right? The Bible says, for the word of the Lord is right. Now, if you want to be right, you must obey the word of the Lord. You don't have to worry about who is right, because if the who's obey the what, we can plainly see who is right. So I'm going to take you on a journey tonight, because I believe that God speaks to men today. But the question is, how does he speak to men today? Does God speak directly to men and directly through men? Or does God speak indirectly to men and indirectly through men? We need to see the difference between a direct command or a direct speaking and an indirect speaking. So I'm going to take my time in this message and point out to you what you need to see. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. I told you on last night that Jesus called his 12 apostles, and Jesus sent them out to preach his word. I told you on last night that the Holy Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth. And I'm going to show you tonight that when it comes down to the apostles, God used the Holy Spirit to speak through them. And then I'm going to show that God spoke to them. In one place, he spoke directly through them. And another place, he spoke directly to them. But I need you to pay attention and don't go to sleep on me. I need you awake under this tent. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19,
but when
the Bible said, but when
they deliver you
they up, deliver you up,
take no thought how or what
ye shall speak,
for it shall be given you in that same hour
what ye shall speak,
for it is not you that speak,
but the spirit of your father
which speaks in you.
Now notice, Jesus says to his apostles, take no thought what or how ye shall speak. He said, it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh through you. Isn't that right? Well, when the apostles stand up to preach, it's not the apostles' words. It's the Holy Spirit that's speaking through them. Now somebody needs to understand what I just said. When the apostles, and I know he's talking to the apostles. You remember I told you when we first started these meetings, I said, when you read a verse, that's the text. I said, secondly, or surrounding the text is the context. And then I told you there is, if we are dealing with the same subject, a distant or a remote text. So let me work with the text, because the text says, it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh through you. So now how do we know who he's talking to? What you have to understand is this. Everything in the Bible is true, but everything in the Bible does not apply to you. You see, God has done something. Down through the years, there have been times when God will speak to a specific person. God will speak at a specific time, and God will speak for a specific purpose. And you need to understand these three things when you read your Bible. Now, I'm not going to run everywhere tonight, but I can just take you back when God spoke to a specific man named Noah. God spoke to him at a specific time, and God had for him a specific purpose. Now, what God said to Noah, he was not talking to you. What God told Noah at that time, it does not apply to you. And the purpose for which God spoke to Noah, that purpose does not apply to you. So what if you were reading your Bible and you read in Genesis 6 and verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make within it, and shall pitch it without and within, and without with pitch. Now notice, God told Noah, make thee an ark. Now what do you look like making an ark when it won't be water but fire? Next time, that tells me what God told Noah, the specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose, does not apply. Amen. To you. Amen. Yes, it's in the Bible, but you don't obey what God told a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose. Amen. Now somebody needs to see me. I'll be back over here in a few minutes in Luke chapter 24. Yes, sir. And verse 47. As a matter of fact, in verse 45, the Bible said, then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And thus it is written, thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But tarry ye in, ye are witnesses of these things, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Isn't that right?
Right.
He said in verse 47, behold, I send forth the promise, 49 rather,
and
of
behold,
my Father upon you.
But tarry ye in the city of
Jerusalem
until
you be endued
with power from
with
on high.
Power
from on high.
Come on high. Now watch verse 49 again. Let's synchronize. Let's get together. Watch it again. The book said,
And
behold,
I send the promise of my Father, upon you.
But tarry ye
in the city of Jerusalem.
In the city
of Jerusalem.
Of Jerusalem.
Until ye be endued
with power from on high.
From on high.
Again, he's talking to a specific people.
That's right.
At a specific time.
Amen.
For a specific purpose.
Amen.
Now watch this. Jesus is talking to the apostles. He tells them, it's only 11 by this time.
Yes,
Judas is dead. So he tells the 11, I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. That tells me if you try to make this passage applicable to you, you must go to the city of Jerusalem. But he's not talking to you. So you don't have to be sitting around Jerusalem. Isn't that all right? Waiting for some power from on high. Because he's not talking to you. That's one of the problems a lot of folk in religion face tonight. They run and go get a verse that God is talking to somebody else. And they try to make it appear that God is talking to them. Honey, when God talks to a specific people at a specific time for a specific purpose, it does not apply to you. Now, you all got it? You have to get it. If you don't get it, I have to go back over it. Did you get it? So when God deals with a text, in many cases, God will deal with a text. He'll talk to a specific people in a text. He'll talk at a specific time in a text. He'll talk for a specific purpose. Now, let's find out about this thing in Matthew 10. Go back. Let's find out what God is saying. Because a whole lot of people think the Lord is through the Spirit speaking through them. But I'm going to show you, he's not talking to you. He's talking to the apostle. He's going to speak through the apostle. Now notice verses 19 and 20. Wait a minute. That's the text. Did you catch it? We read the text. Let's read the text again.
But when they deliver you up,
take no thought.
How or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given unto you.
In that same hour.
What ye shall speak.
For it is not you that speak.
But the Spirit of your Father.
Which speaketh in you. Now notice. Here is the text. The text says that somebody is going to speak through you. Take no thought what ye shall speak, how ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour. What ye shall speak, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now the question is this, to whom is he speaking? Now let me tell you something. There's a few more rules you need to know. You need to know, number one, when you read a verse, who is speaking. You need to know, number two, when you read a verse, to whom is he speaking. And you need to know, number three, when you read a verse, for what purpose is he speaking?
Amen.
And then you need to know, is it a parable? Is it a similitude? Is it a figure of speech? Is it an allegory? You need to know, is it a fable? There are many things you need to know when you read a verse. Because a lot of times, the Lord speaks in parable, and folk run off thinking that he's talking about something else. So you need to find out what is the purpose and the design of such speaking. It'll help you. The Bible says in John 10, you don't have to go there, and verse number 7 and 9, verses 7 and 9, I am the door. Now, when you see that door over there, do you think that's Jesus? Now, what did Jesus say he was? I am the door. Is that Jesus? You see that door? Is that Jesus? Well, Jesus is using a metaphor, a metaphorical language. Jesus is using a figure of speech. And the purpose of a door is for a person to go in and out. So Jesus said, if you want salvation, you have to come into me. If you want to go in and out and be saved, then I am the entrance.
Amen. Amen.
So you have to ask, is the passage literal? Is it figurative? All of these things have a lot to do with our understanding of a passage. That's why a lot of people don't get it tonight, because they don't understand the language of the passage. So notice something. Let's get the context now. We know who's speaking. Jesus is speaking. He's talking, but who is he talking to? That's the whole of the question. Go back to verses 1 and 2. Let's see. This is a context. Did you get it? Now, when you deal with a context, you deal with verses above the text and below the text. Because if you read the text, you don't know who he's talking to. If it's not stated in the text, then you have to go to the context. And sometimes you may not find it all in the context, so you have to go to a distant text to get the rest of it. You're going to be with me tonight? Now, you know I'll be finished when I get finished, so don't rush me. Are you in verse number 1? Listen to this.
And when he had called unto him.
And when he had called unto him.
His 12 disciples.
Now notice, he called unto him his 12 disciples. Notice what he called them. Disciples. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now watch this.
He gave them power against
unclean spirits. He gave them power against unclean spirit.
To cast them out.
Cast them out.
And to heal all manner of
sickness. And to heal all manner of sickness.
And all manner of disease.
All manner of disease.
Now the names of the 12 apostles are these.
Oh, wait a minute. Now the name of the 12
apostles.
That's all I want. Apostles. In verse 1 he called them what? In verse 2 he called them what? So the question here, to whom is he speaking? He's speaking to the apostles. Before you run off from under here talking about you're going to get some power, let the text and the context tell us who he's talking to. Isn't that all right? So now that I know who he's talking to, I understand the purpose of such speaking. Why is he telling them this? Because they are going to receive some power and the Holy Spirit is going to speak through them. Not through you. Through them. You had nothing to do with this Bible getting here. But they did. Because he spoke through them. But I'm not finished. I want to go over to Acts 2 and verse number 4. I need to work with Acts 2 and verse number 4. Because the Bible is still right. All I want you to do is stay with me, and I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can. But don't forget what we've already gone through. Now in Acts 2 and verse 4, the Bible said,
and they were all
and
filled.
They were all filled
with the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy Ghost.
And began to speak,
and began
with, other
to speak with other tongues.
As the Spirit gave
as
them.
As the Spirit
gave them utterance.
Gave them utterance. Now the Bible says, and they, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that in your Bible?
Yeah.
Well, now, when you talk about they, keep in mind verse 4 mm-hmm. is the text. But in order to understand who he's talking to, you have to look at the what? Have to look at the context. Man, isn't this stuff plain when you really get a zero in on it? Isn't it plain? When people explain it to you the way the Bible actually presents it, it becomes easy for us to see it. Now, let's watch the context. Now, wait a minute. Most of us, when we read our Bibles, we read book, chapter, and verses. But what we have to understand, when it was first written,
right. It
wasn't broken down into chapters and verses. It was like a letter that's sent to a person.
Man.
Now, when they read the letter, they started reading the letter in Acts 1. And the letter continued all the way through Acts 28. Well, in Acts 1, let's pick up with the letter in verse number 8. Because he had already said in chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's find out how the letter reads. This is the context of the letter. The Bible said, but ye shall receive power. After that,
the Holy Ghost
is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to all of those parts of the earth. Now notice, he said, but ye shall receive power. Did you get it? Ye shall receive power. Now we need to find out who is this ye. We know they spoke with other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. So who is the ye and who is this they? Well, watch verse 2 in Acts chapter 1. The Bible said,
Unto the day
in which he was taken up,
after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments
unto the apostles
whom he had chosen.
So now the ye are the apostles, and I maintain the they are the apostles.
Amen.
Well, how do you know? Well, you know, I tell you all the time, I'm not educated. I didn't go too far in school, but I thank God I learned how to read. Isn't that all right?
Amen.
Well, you know, when folks start using big words like antecedent, they throw me off. And they really do. But when they start saying stuff like nouns and pronouns, now they're in my arena. I need you to see this. Because in the English language, when you deal with a noun, you're dealing with a person, place, or thing. Now, education has come so far advanced, is person, place, thing, and process now. But that's okay. But person, place, or thing, you know, they're still there. Now, a noun could be a person, place, or thing, or a process. Now, notice this. A pronoun in a sentence goes back, reclaims, renames, or recalls the noun. Now, you got to get this. Because in verse number 1, in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 2, he talked to the apostles. We got in verse number 8, he talked to ye. And ye, isn't that right, shall receive power. Well, drop down then to verse number 26 in Acts chapter 1. Now remember, you're good. Remember, Judas is dead. He had chosen 12 from the outset. So Judas died, that left 11. He needs to replace the 11. Or replace the one to make it 12. And there's a reason why there needs to be 12. Because he said, back over there in Matthew 19 and verse number 28, and ye shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Well, they can't do that if one throne is empty. Isn't that all right? Oh, the Bible is right. So now there must be 12 people on 12 thrones. So in order for them to get another one, they have to select him. But the Lord is going to be the one that selects him. And he's going to add this one to the 11 and make it 12 all over again. Well, let's see about that. In verse 26, the Bible said, and they gave forth their lot.
And the lot fell upon Matthias.
And he was numbered
with the 11 apostles.
The 11 apostles. So how many does that make? That makes 12. Well, the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 2.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come.
They were all in one accord, in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. All the house where they were sitting. I know he just told me the noun here, or the apostle, and they is the pronoun plural, so that calls back these apostles. Am I correct about it?
Amen.
Now, if I'm not, somebody in English needs to help me. I'll take some help. I don't mind getting me some help, honey. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
And it takes help to get to heaven. Because I read Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I need some help. People talk about, well, you can't pull yourself up by the bootstrap. Honey, you don't even have boots when you don't have Jesus. You don't know how to walk. Let me let you all along. You can't take all of this. So let's stay with me. So the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So the ye are the apostles. Amen. They receive this power. You see this word utterance? That's the same word utterance for, you remember 1 Timothy, we started out in chapter number 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, when he said the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly, that means he speaketh distinctively. He speaketh plainly. He speaketh declaring in no uncertain term what people can understand. As a matter of fact, it's really where we get this word rhetorical. You heard people say rhetorical? Well, this word in expressly is really rhetos. It is what it is. That's R-H-A-Y. And then that's T-O-S. That's really what it is. So he's telling us, listen, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you won't have any problem understanding what he's saying. He speaks just that plainly. He's not further like some of these preachers over here. When the Holy Spirit speaks, honey, he speaks clearly. Amen. Now notice, remember when Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 10, they didn't have to think, they didn't have to study, they didn't have to take any thought what they shall speak. For it was not them that speaketh, but the Spirit of the Father that spoke in them or spoke through them. When the apostles stood up on Pentecost, honey, they didn't go to school and write out their sermon that they preached on Pentecost. I need you to get it, because if you don't get this, you're going to miss my whole lesson. When you talk about the Holy Spirit speaking through them, go to Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. Let me show you why he does it. Let me show you how he does it, because you need to see it. Too many people think that the Holy Ghost is talking to them, but they can't do what these apostles could do. I'm going to show it to you. Are you in Mark 13:11? The Bible said,
But when they shall lead you.
Now, wait a minute. You remember I told you about a remote text or a distant text? Well, what you have in the scripture is this. God doesn't give you everything on the same subject in one verse. So you have to go get the others and put it with the same thing. If it's on the same subject, these are what we call parallel texts. And in the parallel text, you pick up a little bit more in one text than you picked up in the other text. But they're all talking about the same thing. Now, back then, that was called progressive revelation. That is, God was continuing to do this until he got the revelation complete. And once the revelation was completed, there is no more progressive revelation. God is not telling you anything outside of this book. Oh, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to work on it. I'm not finished. But you have to see this. In Mark 13:11, the Bible says,
But when they shall lead you
and deliver you up.
Take no thought beforehand.
What ye shall speak.
Neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you.
In that hour.
That speak you.
For it is not you that speak.
But the Holy Ghost.
So who's speaking? The apostles or the Holy Ghost? You know why I know it's the Holy Ghost and not the apostles? Because he said, do not premeditate. Now these apostles, most of them were ignorant and unlearned men. You know they need a whole lot of meditating. Now, come on now. Don't act like you didn't catch it. People like me, unlearned, we need to do a whole lot of meditating. Isn't that right? Honey, we have to get down. We have to go in our study. We have to write out stuff. We have to look up stuff. We, as a matter of fact, I asked Brother Mitchell the other night, where is your strong, exhausted concordia? Because I wanted to look up something before I came out here right quick. But now, had the Holy Spirit spoken directly through me, I wouldn't need his book. I wouldn't need anything. All I'd have to do is stand up, open my mouth, and the Holy Spirit will speak through me. There isn't a preacher on this island that the Holy Spirit speaks directly through. Not a one. Every preacher on this island puts his eyeballs on the Bible. He reads the Bible. The apostles didn't have a Bible to read. So how then could they preach without preaching error? They did it because they were not the ones speaking. It was the Holy Ghost speaking through them. Now, I know you got that. Yeah, anytime a man tells you, honey, he's led by the Holy Ghost and he's been baptized with the Holy Ghost, ask him, can the Holy Ghost speak directly through him? And if he says yes, ask him, had he ever read the Bible? And if he says yes, tell him you just negated what you told me earlier. You just contradicted yourself. Because if the Holy Ghost speaks directly through you, you don't need to premeditate. You don't need to take thought. You don't need to study. You don't need to do anything. Now, I want you to get this. The Apostle Paul became an apostle out of due time. He was the last of the apostles. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and 8. So I don't want to read all of that. But I want to work on something. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I want you to see this. Because these people are running around talking about the Holy Spirit is speaking to them and speaking through them. Honey, we're going to see it tonight. I guarantee you, we're going to see it tonight. Are you in Galatians? Chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. Paul said, but I certify you, brethren,
that the gospel, that the gospel of me,
which was preached of me,
is not after man.
Is not after man.
For I neither received it of man.
Received it of man.
Neither was I taught it.
Was I taught it?
But by the revelation,
of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to watch Paul. Paul, I want to know, how did you get your message? Paul saying, now I certify you, brethren. That word certify means to make known. I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man. Neither did I receive it of man, neither was I taught it. Paul is saying, the gospel that I'm preaching to you, no man taught me. This is after his baptism, and you need to understand the timing in which he's dealing with. Ananias went to him and told him what the Lord wanted him to do. After that, Paul went into Arabia, man, and stayed there for a while. And while he was in Arabia, the Lord was teaching him and giving him revelation while he was in Arabia. Don't make me read the whole Bible. I'll show you. It's in there. And then he went up to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to get this, because this is very important. Paul said, the gospel which was preached to me, not after man, neither did I receive it of man. Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the question is this. Did a man teach Paul the gospel that he preached? Paul said, no, I was not taught it. I received it by revelation. Now watch this. Paul was a preacher. But you see, Paul was more than a preacher. Paul was also an apostle. Paul, now notice, as being a preacher, Paul said, what I preach, I didn't get it from man. Wasn't taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, Timothy was a preacher. Are you all paying attention? Timothy was a preacher. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to get a verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. Just in case you don't believe Timothy was a preacher, Paul said, I charge it therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. That's 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. That's not where I'm going. I'm going to 2 Timothy 2 and 2. I know where I'm going. I just need you to be there when I get there. Isn't that all right?
Yeah.
Now notice what Paul said to Timothy. Go to verse 1 so we'll know this thing.
Thou therefore, my son,
be strong
in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses.
Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men.
Who shall be able to teach others also.
Now let me ask you a question. When Paul said to Timothy, and the thing that thou hast heard of me, who's teaching Timothy? Is Paul a man? So a man taught Timothy. But Paul said, no man taught me. Paul received his message by what? By revelation. Timothy received his message by Paul. So Paul taught Timothy. And Timothy was to teach faithful men. And faithful men were to teach other men. And they kept on teaching until Brother Carl Mitchell got it. So they kept on teaching until you got it. Can you see what God is doing? God is putting this thing down from generation to generation. Paul named four generations in the text. He said, me, Timothy, you the faithful men and the faithful men that teach other men. Are y'all getting it? That's why, man, if I get to be 100 years old and I come back on this island, I'm looking for some young men. They would be about 60 by then. Isn't that all right? I'm looking for them to still be preaching the same gospel I'm preaching tonight. You get it? That's why we have to put it in the young men. Paul put it in Timothy, a young man. Timothy put it in others, and the others put it in others, and the others put it in others, and the others put it in others, until we got it. Now what are we going to do with it? We're going to put it in others. Like I'm putting it in you tonight, we're going to continue to put it in others. Now notice something. When it comes down to the apostle, they were guided in all truth. They didn't have to premeditate. They didn't have to think. They didn't have to study. Watch verse 15. Drop down to verse 15. Watch what Paul told Timothy.
Study. To show thyself approved unto God.
Now I know that word study is not the same word study that we use in our English language today. But that word study simply means to us give diligence to make sure that what you are doing is pleasing and acceptable to God. It's from a word spagazzo, which means to give haste, to make haste. It means to labor. It means to be diligent. It simply means to toil and to work. Timothy wants to work to show himself approved unto God. A workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if Timothy didn't study the Bible or the letters that Paul wrote to him, then how could Timothy rightly divide the word? Well, go to chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. I need you to see this. I'm working on Timothy. Now I want you to get this. The first word in verse 15 is what? Meditate. Did you catch it?
Mm-hmm.
He told the apostle, don't premeditate. Isn't that right? So the first thing he tells Timothy, well, go up to verse number 13, man.
Till I come.
Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Paul told Timothy, boy, learn how to read. Give attention to reading.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all catching it?
Mm-hmm.
What is Timothy going to do? He's going to read it.
Yes.
When he reads it and understands it, he rightly divides it, so he meditates on it.
Yeah.
Every preacher I know has to read. The apostle didn't have to read. The Holy Spirit spoke through them. Now, who under this tent the Holy Spirit is speaking through? Talk to me. You can say, not me. You can't speak for everybody else, but you ought to be able to speak for yourself. The Holy Spirit not speaking through you. I had a lady talking to me one time about the Holy Spirit was speaking to her. I said, ma'am, let's go to the book of Revelation. She couldn't even find revelation in the Bible. I know the Spirit wasn't talking to her. I'm serious about this thing. How the Holy Spirit doing all this speaking through these folks and they can't even find the books in the Bible? Be like the little boy that ran over there, and man, he looked over there and he saw J-O-B and he said, oh man, they get jobs in the Bible. No, that's Job. People get this thing mixed up. And we have to make sure that they understand what God is saying. And if we can help people, that's what we want to do. So how did the Holy Spirit speak to them? He spoke to them directly. He spoke through them. But now go over to Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Let me show you here speaking to. I mean directly to. As a matter of fact, let's start at verse number 26. I'm in Acts chapter 8. You all get there now. We can't linger all night. We need you there.
And the angel of the
Lord
spake
unto Philip, saying,
arise.
Now watch this. Who's speaking to Philip right now?
Angel.
The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise.
And go toward,
the south.
Unto the way, unto the way that goeth down unto Gaza.
Unto Jerusalem.
Which is desert.
And he arose.
And went.
And behold.
A man of Ethiopia. And eunuch. Of great authority.
Under Candace, the queen
of
Ethiopia.
Who had
the charge
of all her
treasure.
And had come to Jerusalem.
For to worship was returning.
And
sitting in his chariot.
Read Isaiah
the prophet.
Then the Spirit said unto
Wait a minute. Wait one Mississippi. Cotton picking minute. In verse number 26, the angel spake to Philip. But when you get to verse number
29,
the Spirit
said unto Philip.
Wait a minute. No angel is talking now. The Spirit is speaking directly to Philip. Isn't that amazing? There isn't a person in Jamaica that the Holy Spirit has spoken directly to as he spoke to Philip. Now watch what he said. Isn't it amazing? If what we teach is false, why hasn't the Holy Spirit spoken to these preachers and told them to come over here and straighten us out? We do want to go to heaven, don't we? Well, go tell your pastor we want to go to heaven. And if we are teaching false doctrine, the Spirit ought to tell him to come over here and teach us the truth. You couldn't pull him over here. Couldn't hook him to a wagon and get him over here. Tell him to stand up for you. Oh, I'm not bad. I just serve an awesome God. The Bible is right. The Spirit spoke to Philip. What did he tell him?
Go near.
Go near.
And join thyself.
And join thyself
to this chariot.
Now wait a minute. This man, this Ethiopian eunuch, even though political, he was a religious man. He had embraced Judaism. He was going to worship because Jerusalem was the place they were to worship. This man was coming back from worship. He was religious, but the man was religiously wrong. And the Spirit told Philip, go down there and teach him. If we are religiously wrong, like they say, why don't they come over here and teach us? That's what we need. We need the truth if we don't have it. But I maintain we have it. Now, did the Spirit speak to him? In the apostles' case, did the Spirit speak through them? Did they have to meditate? Did they have to premeditate? Did they have to take thought of what they were going to say? The Spirit spoke through them and directly to them. I want to know, how does he speak to men today? I know how he spoke to them. The Bible just told me. Now, how is he speaking to us? Oh, this thing getting good, isn't it? How is he talking to us? I know how my daddy talked to me when I was growing up. I know how my mama talked to me when I was growing up. They talked to me like I'm talking to you right now. But I want to know, how does God talk to me? You see, God doesn't talk to me like my daddy and my mama talk to me. But God does talk to me. But the question here, how does God talk to me? Well, let me show you how God talked to them. Go to Matthew chapter 22. We'll just start at verse number 31. Let's see how God talked to them. The Bible is right. I'm going to show you how God talked to them. This is Jesus speaking. Now, you know Jesus came down here as God's spokesman, right? And Jesus came to do the will of the Father, right? Well, now, listen to this. Let me tell you, let me set the stage for this, because something was happening in this text. You know, there was a woman that had a husband, and her husband died. And you know, these Jewish people, they wanted to trap Jesus. They're always trying to come up with something to trap Jesus. People do us like that because we stand up for what we believe. They try to trap us. But we don't worry about it because we are not blind, you see. We see the truth. So we're not worried about people trying to trap us. Well, these guys came to Jesus. They say, well, now listen, Jesus, you know that Moses said in the law that if a man married to a woman and that woman's husband dies and she has no seed, then her husband is to take her to wife to have a seed. But this woman married seven brothers, and all seven of them died. And we want to know from you in the resurrection, whose husband should she be? Well, Jesus had to straighten them out. Number one, what you guys don't understand is this. This is in verse number 29. I know what I'm talking about. What you all don't understand is this. You don't know the scripture, nor the power of God. You see, in the resurrection, there is neither marriage nor given in marriage. They're going to be as the angel. Folk don't go to heaven looking for romance. Honey, you better do all your doing now. You better go on and find the one you think you love right now, because when we get to heaven, ain't no more. It's over. Oh, she's pretty. Over. Did you all catch it? I just got to make sure you still on the line. I told you last night, folk will drop calls. Let's start at verse number 30. Let's see what he said.
For in the resurrection, they neither marry
nor given in marriage,
but are as the angels
of God in heaven.
But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read?
Notice. Have ye not
read that which was spoken
unto you by God saying,
I am the God of Abraham
and the God of Isaac
and the God of Jacob.
Now watch this. I know he's not the God of the dead, but the living. Well, watch this. Listen to this. Have ye not read? Now, what is it that they were supposed to read? They were supposed to read the scriptures. It was the scriptures that Jesus appealed to get these people to understand what he was saying. You have to read in the scripture. How did God the Father speak to them on this issue? He spoke to them by and through the scriptures. Jesus appealed to the scriptures. Now, if they want to know what God the Father said, how did they know what he said? They had to read the scriptures. Did you catch it? Now, how did God get them to see what he said? Jesus appealed to the scriptures. Well, how did the Father speak to them when Jesus talked to them? Through the scriptures. Jesus is standing there in person, but he's appealing, going back to the scriptures. All through the scriptures. When Jesus was alive, Jesus was saying, it is written. Why was he saying it is written? Because he was appealing to the scriptures, and if they want to know what God the Father had to say, if they didn't accept what Jesus said audibly from his mouth, he went to the scripture and said, that is. But I'm not finished. We need to see how the apostles have left something here so we'll know how they speak to us. Or the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, the Bible is right. People need to see this. A lot of folk are messed up in religion because they are waiting on God to say something to them. And God is talking to them through the scriptures all the time. Watch what the Bible says.
If any man
sees. If any man. Think himself
to be a prophet.
To be a prophet.
Or spiritual.
Or spiritual.
Let him acknowledge.
Let him acknowledge
that the things that,
I write unto you
are the commandments of the Lord.
Are the commandments of the Lord. Now, what is Paul writing? Paul is writing the commandments of the Lord. Now, my question is this: where do you find the commandments of the Lord? You find the commandments of the Lord in the scriptures. If you want the apostle to speak to you tonight, you have to go to the scriptures. The apostles are not going to come down from wherever they are in the intermediate state of the dead in the Hadean world and come back and talk to you. They left something down here. The Father gave this word to the Son. The Son gave this word to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave this word to the apostles and prophets. And they put it in the book. And if you want to know what God said, you need to go to the book and read it. I'm not finished. Somebody said, well, you need to hurry up now. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. I need you to see this. Now, John in chapter 1 and verse 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I need you to catch this. What day is it? It's the Lord's day. Now, where is John? In the Spirit. I know the physical place is the Isle of Patmos. But farther than that, John said, I'm in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working with me. Did you catch it? In order for John to receive this message, the Holy Spirit has to give it to him. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit uses the angel to talk to John, but John says, I'm in the Spirit. So what we're going to see, John is an apostle. John was taught directly through the Holy Spirit, but now he's getting ready to teach the church at Ephesus. You in Revelation 2 and 1, watch this.
Unto the angel of the church. Unto the angel of the church. Of Ephesus,
right. Of Ephesus, right.
These things saith he.
Angel of the church of Ephesus, right. Of that word angel there is messenger or minister. Did you catch it? Messenger or minister. Now notice, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write. Now John is getting his message through the Spirit. The Spirit would carry John up and show him what he needs to see. And John is getting ready to give the message that he received from the Spirit to the church at Ephesus. But the angel, the messenger, is going to write what John is getting ready to give him. Now you need to get this word right. Read it again.
Under the angel of the church at Ephesus.
Under the angel of the church at Ephesus.
Right.
Right. Right what?
These things.
These things.
Says he that holds.
Says he that holds.
The seven stars
in
his right hand.
Seven stars in his right hand.
Who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
Of the seven golden candlesticks. Now notice something. He is talking. John is saying, what I'm giving you, I want you to write it. But I need to show you that the message that John is having them to write for their learning and their obedience is a message that came from the Spirit. The Spirit gave it to John. John gave it to the messenger. The messenger is to write. And when they write, they'll read not only what John said, but what the Spirit gave John to say. Oh, you think I'm making this up? Look at verse 7. I'm not making this up. Watch this.
He that hath an ear.
He that hath an ear.
Let him hear.
Let him hear.
What the Spirit
what
says.
What the Spirit says.
Unto the churches.
Now, did you catch it? Now, who's talking? The Spirit is talking. Isn't that right? Let him hear what the Spirit says. But the question is, how is the Spirit talking? You caught it? How is the Spirit speaking? The Spirit is speaking through the writing. He's not coming to the church and saying, well, look, you do this. Now, he's done that in the past. I said the Spirit has gone to the church in the past and talked directly to the church. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Go to Acts 13, man. You don't know, I love the Bible. You know, the Bible backs me up. That when I say something, it better be from the Bible. Because if it's not from the Bible, then I have no business preaching it. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something in Acts chapter number 13 and beginning with verse number 2. The Bible says what?
As they minister to the Lord.
To the Lord.
And fasted. The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost
said.
I like that. The Holy Ghost
said.
Say, now wait a minute. Let's find out where he's saying this. Hold it. The Holy Ghost say. Go to verse number 1. Let's see where the Holy Ghost is. In order to say what he's saying, let's find out where he is. Are you there? Read the book.
No, there were.
There were.
In the church.
In the church.
That was at Antioch.
Certain
prophets.
Certain prophets.
And teachers. As Barnabas. Simeon. And was called
Niger. I know it. I know you don't want to put that twist on it, but okay, let's just say Niger.
And
we buried the N-word in Detroit. Till the mayor got in trouble and he resurrected it. But anyway, where are they? They're at the church. So when the Spirit started speaking, who was the Spirit speaking to?
The church.
He was speaking to the church. You see, the Spirit came in that church and spoke. The Holy Ghost said, there isn't a church in Jamaica where the Holy Ghost comes down and speaks to the whole church. So there are times when the Holy Ghost actually spoke to the church. But as the Bible was being completed, I said as the Bible was being completed, let Holy Ghost speak into the church. They are writing now because God intended for this message to last until Jesus comes. And the best way to preserve it is to have it written. You all got it? Now watch this. I'm almost finished. What did the Holy Ghost say? Separate me, Barnabas.
Saul.
And Saul,
for the work whereunto I am called.
I have called them.
I have called them. The Holy Ghost came down to the church at Antioch, and the Holy Ghost said, now listen, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. I want them to go on a missionary journey to go preach. So separate them from you. Let them go and preach. There isn't a church on this island. The Holy Ghost came to you and told you, send John and Jack. Don't act like you don't understand. As a matter of fact, I'm going back to Acts 11, and verse 12. I'm going to show you something else. You act like the Holy Ghost doesn't speak. Watch this.
And the Spirit bade me go.
Oh, hold it. This is Peter talking to his Jewish brethren, rehearsing to them what had happened in Acts chapter 10. Spirit, Peter said, and the
Spirit bade me go.
Bade me go
with them.
You get that word bade? That's the same word utterance. The Spirit told me to go. Isn't that speaking directly to Peter? The Holy Spirit spoke directly to Peter. Now I have faith in God. I believe I have as much faith in God as any man living. I believe I have faith in God. I honestly believe that I have faith in God. I remember one time, I took a young girl at the age of 10. They were having a tent revival on a Holy Ghost miracle working service. You know, I do stuff like that because I believe truth prevails. I took a little girl under a tent. Her name was Rochelle. And Rochelle was messed up. I mean, her leg was twisted and her arm was twisted. At the age of 2, she had a seizure and it left her crooked. Are you hearing me? See, y'all want to say paralyzed. I want to say crooked. Man, left her crooked. Like this. And man, I took her under the tent. And the preacher asked the woman, the mother of Rochelle, said, how long has she been? Now, the first question he asked, do you believe God has power? She said, I believe God has all power. Then he asked her, how long has she been like this? She said, since she's been 2 years old. And that preacher got down on Rochelle's leg. Man, he was bending and twisting and turning. And I'm standing there thinking, man, that girl has had enough therapy. Therapy won't straighten this out. And you can see the pain in this little girl's face. And then he went up to her arm. And man, he was twisting. And then all of a sudden, one of his ministers saw me. And said, Pastor, there's doubt under this tent. There's doubt under this tent. Go to Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 58. He said, there's doubt under this tent. Pastor, the reason you can't heal her, there's doubt under this tent. And I stepped up. I said, the first thing I want you to know is this. You are saying there's doubt under this tent, but I want to let you know this. God sent Jesus into the world. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's Acts 10 and verse 38. And when Jesus was in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, the Bible says,
and he did not
notice. And he did not
many mighty works.
Mighty works
there.
Because of their unbelief. Now, did you get it? He did not
many.
I said, man, you took the M. You're trying to make him say he did not any. The book didn't say he did not any. The book said he did not many. I said, we don't want you to do many. We just want you to do this one.
Amen. Amen.
Rochelle leapt from under that tent the same way she leapt into that tent. She left the same way she came. Go to Matthew 17. I'm almost finished. I might need to say some of this for Monday night because I'm coming back Monday night, Lord's willing. But you know, I got to get some more of these messages in here. You know, and I tell people, man, it's amazing how I can go to some places and preach for 4 nights, don't have enough nights to preach what I need to preach, and then come to places like this for 12 nights and still don't have enough nights to preach what I need to preach. Don't have enough nights. And don't worry about us running out of scriptures. We have 66 books. Isn't that right? Now, I want you to get this. There was a man that had a son. And this son that he had was always falling into the fire and always injuring himself. They went to the disciple, and the disciple could not heal him. Then they had to bring him to Jesus. You know Matthew chapter 17?
Yeah.
Let's just start around verse number 15. Let's see what that says.
Lord.
Lord.
Have mercy on my
have
son.
Have mercy on my son.
For he is lunatic.
For he is lunatic.
And sore vexed.
And so vexed.
For oftentimes.
Oftentimes.
He falls.
He falleth into the fire.
And oft into the water.
And often in the water.
And I brought him, to
the disciples.
And they could not
cure
him.
And they could not cure him. Now wait a minute. The disciples could not cure him. Now watch. The book said.
Then Jesus answered,
answered and said.
O faithless.
O faithless.
And perverse generation.
And perverse generation. Now wait a minute. Who do you think Jesus is talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's telling his disciples, you are some faithless fellows.
That's right.
Read the book. Watch this.
O faithless and preserved generation. Read. Perverse generation. How long shall I be
How
with you?
How long shall I be with you?
How long shall I suffer you?
How long shall I suffer you?
Bring him hither to
Bring
me.
Bring him hither to me. Read the book.
And Jesus rebuked
Jesus the devil. Rebuked
the devil.
The devil.
And he departed out of him.
Departed out of him.
And the child was cured.
Child was cured.
From that very hour.
From that very hour.
Then came the disciples
then
to Jesus
Then came the
apart.
Disciples upon. Now watch what the disciples want to know. Read the book.
And said,
could not we cast it out?
And Jesus said unto
them,
because of your unbelief.
Because of your unbelief. Wait a minute. Because of whose unbelief?
Your unbelief.
The very one who's supposed to have the power didn't have the power because of their unbelief. The apostles couldn't do it because they didn't believe. So I'm telling you tonight, the person that needs the miracle is not the person that needs the faith. The person that needs the faith is the person that's performing the miracle. So if you don't get healed, did you catch it? My nephew, and I'm trying to close. Look like I'm going to have to do part 3. Is that all right? My nephew, Monday night, part 3. Well, we may do it Sunday night so we can keep them close together. But now I got to get in here. What do you like soul music before I leave? Y'all know what soul music is? Do you really know what it is? Now listen. I need you to get this. Because if you miss this, you're going to miss what I'm trying to teach you. When it comes down to it, the person that needs the faith is the person that's performing the miracle. My nephew, of course, through marriage, my wife's brother's son, was at a service at church, at a church service. And all of a sudden, he fell to the ground. And they hovered around him. True story. I haven't lied to you since I've been here. I know it all were wasted words, but I had to say it. They hovered around him. The pastor got down on him. Told everybody, get back. Move. Pray. Healing God. Raise him up. The little boy got up. Everybody shouting, thank God. But he went back down. No. I tell you when it's a joke. He went back down. They still praying. People hollering, call 911. No, we got the power. By the time they recognized they couldn't raise him up, by the time they called 911, by the time he entered the hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, the doctor said, if you had waited another 5 minutes, he'll be dead. But wait a minute. That young man went into a coma. He was comatose for years. Never came out of it. Don't tell me there wasn't any faith down at that church. Don't tell me that boy's mama didn't have any faith. The problem was not in that boy's faith, nor his mama's faith. The problem was with the guy who claimed to have the power. He didn't have the power. I said he didn't have the power. And he could not raise that boy up. And a lot of people tonight are putting their trust in men who don't have the faith nor the power. And I say the faith because their faith is not the biblical faith. They don't have the power because they are not apostles of God, nor have they had the apostles to lay hands on them. And so many people in religion today, they don't understand how God is speaking because they haven't understood scriptures. Well, I think I'll close right here. Because if God is talking to you tonight, separate and apart from the Bible, then we don't have all of the scriptures. And I don't know about you, but I read Jude in verse number 3. The Bible said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you. Isn't that right? That ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. In other words, this thing was once delivered. God is not redoing it. He's given us the faith. And the faith is one. Oh yes, I read in my Bible, in Acts 6 and verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I don't know about you, but there isn't but one faith. Oh, I read Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, I read in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. Paul said, a marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preaching another gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preaching another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man, neither was it taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, the Bible is right. I need you to understand that Paul said that he was not taught it. He said he wasted the church of God. Paul said, now wait a minute, in verse number 22, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. But they had heard only that he in time past, which once persecuted us, now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Listen, Paul once destroyed the church of Christ. He obeyed the gospel of Christ, became a member of the church of Christ, and now he's preaching what he once destroyed. So Paul is saying to us tonight, I had to leave the religion that I was in. Watch verse 13. He said, and profited in the Jew religion above men of mine equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my father. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, that I should preach him among the heathens. Paul is simply saying to us tonight that what I persecuted, I obeyed, and once I obeyed it, now I'm preaching it. You've heard him in verse 13. You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jew religion. Now, what religion was Paul in? He was in the Jews' religion. But when Paul obeyed the gospel and became a member of the church of Christ, he left the Jews' religion, and now he's a Christian, a part of Christianity, and not Judaism. Amen. 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 Now, what are you going to do? You going to stay where you are? Paul didn't stay where he was. See, don't tell me one religion is just as good as another. If one religion is just as good as another, then why didn't Paul stay in the one he was in? He got out of it because he knew that thing was going to be destroyed in the end. Now, listen. At one time, and I'm serious, I'm trying to close. At one time, the Jews' religion was right. It was God's chosen religion. Did you catch it? At one time, it was right. But when Jesus came and built the church of Christ, Judaism went down. It's no longer the religion of Christ. Now listen to this. If Paul was in a religion at one time that was right, and he left it to get in the church of Christ, now why are you in a religion that's never been right? And you trying to stay in there. You can't read it in your Bible. It's never been right. Paul's religion at one time was right. And he got out of it. You can't even find yours in the Bible and won't get out of it. I don't understand you. Now somebody needs to help me with you. Paul got out of something at one time was right. You're in something that's never been right, and you still don't want to get out of it. And then want to get mad and choke me. What you choking me for? I didn't write the Bible. You've heard this gospel. You ought to believe it. John 8:24, you ought to repent of your sin. Luke 7:13-5, confess Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32, be baptized. Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:41, the Lord will add you to them, and the them make up the apostle. The church, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you want to be saved? Let me tell you something. If you want to be saved, you must be added to the church. You can't get added to the church without getting baptized, because the one they added, he added, were baptized. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now what do you want to do tonight? What do you want to do? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly or indirectly? Is he speaking to you through his word, or is he talking to you audibly, like I'm talking to you? I know you've seen it. You can't help but see it, but I'll try one more time. Sunday night, I'll try one more time. I'll work on this one more time. And then I'll let it be yours, because I found this out. If you won't believe one sermon, you won't believe two. Because did you not know, I have a sermon entitled, How Many Sermons Have You Heard? The people on Pentecost Day, guess how many sermons they heard? And they obeyed it. When Philip taught that eunuch, how many sermons did the eunuch hear? And he obeyed it. When he went down to the city of Samaria and taught the Samaritan, how many sermons did they hear? And they obeyed it. When Peter went down to the house of Cornelius and preached to them, how many sermons they heard? And obeyed it. When Paul met Lydia, man, by the seaside, how many sermons she heard? And obeyed it. When the Philippian jailer man heard Paul and Silas, how many sermons did he hear? And obeyed it. My question is, why you got to hear so many? These folk heard one and obeyed it. Why you got to hear so many? I know what your problem is. Your problem is you don't believe you in sin. And the reason you don't believe you in sin, you really don't know what sin is. Because if you don't obey this, honey, you're in sin. I'm finished. But talk to me afterwards. I've been to a couple of islands. Let me tell you what I like about you all. Especially Brother Mitchell and the other preacher on the other island. When he wants me, he says, come. Come. I could be sitting in the car. Brother Hope, come. When I leave here, man, if I didn't know who I was, I think my name is Come. And when I'm in Trinidad, the preacher says, Brother Hope, come. So let me take Brother Mitchell's word. Come. Song leader, you ready? What we want them to do? It's time now for you to do what? Come. I'm finished.
575.